Chapter 2. Where an instant before there had been but empty space, now a trio of near-identical figures stood. Three human males, unarmoured and weaponless, craned their necks to look up into the ceramite faceplates of the world-eaters with calm, kind eyes.
"Welcome," said the first of them, his voice soft and pleasant.
"We are pleased,"
spoke the second, with a nearly identical tone.
"That our message was clear," added the third. "To bring you here with us?"
said the first again. Majo reached for his collar, disengaging the seals, binding his helm and gorget. Gripping it by the faceplate, he pulled the helmet free and set it in the crook of his arm. He would look upon these people of 9315 with his own eyes. They were hairless and androgynous in feature, wearing shimmering prismatic robes over their slim bodies. The cloth bore no insignia, either of the Imperium of Man or any contrary mark of allegiance. Every motion was echoed between the three in perfect unity, from the subtle rising of their chests as they breathed to the delicate blink of their pale hazel eyes. They radiated a quiet tranquillity, uncanny for mortal men standing before legionaries. Majo could smell no fear on them, nor any other scent for that matter.
"I am Majo, centurion of his 12th legion, the Eaters of Worlds."
The other world-eaters clashed fists against their chests as one, the sudden clang having no discernible impact upon the newcomers.
"Identify yourselves."
The emissaries smiled in the same moment, flashing their teeth as one.
"I am Ona," said the first of them.
The centurion looked to the others.
"And you?"
A soft chuckle rippled over the three as they answered together.
"We are all Ona."
Majo's cold grey eyes narrowed.
"Where is the Imperial Embassy? Why does Regent Ichthilion not present himself and stand here now to make account for the silence of 9315?
9315,
replied the lead Ona softly, beginning again the strange chorus between himself and his two companions.
This was the Regent's name, but not the true name of our home.
Behold.
Together they gestured with robed hands towards the planet below.
Genna. Our home. The seed from where we must change and grow, to bloom across the stars.
We cannot trust them.
Majo's jaw tightened. Tethys's sending pulsed for an instant through each of the world-eaters' minds like a migraine. His psychic power was raw, formidable, but it lacked the finesse of one who had honed his gift over decades of training beneath Varius and the other senior librarians. It made the centurion's eyes itch.
Something is awry here, my brothers. There is a coldness to their minds, a distance I cannot define.
Majo listened to the warning but gave no outward sign, the neutral expression not leaving his face. He heard the soft clanks of ceramite as his brothers shifted in place behind him. Fingers tightened around weapons at their brothers' silent words and the strangeness of the men before them.
Talk sense.
Majo stared down at Ona.
I do not understand. Tell me, where is the Regent?
Try as we might.
Their voices became sorrowful now, their pale eyes downcast.
He too did not understand. Where we are,
where we must go,
and the path we must follow to reach there. These were differences we found the reconciliation of to be impossible.
A cold, familiar sensation danced down Major's spine. His armour reacted, sending stimulants stinging into his bloodstream. His senses grew sharper.
Every effort was made,
said Ona.
To broaden his sight to see beyond himself, and then afterwards, when it failed, to ensure his comfort. You may rest in confidence that he experienced no pain when his birth form collapsed.
Faster than eyes could track, Majo had the blade of his spear at Ona's throat. Orontes adopted the third shieldless posture, with his left shoulder dipped and axe brandished vertically on his right side. The champion tensed his fists, and the engine within the weapon's blade snarled with twin tracks of counter-spinning teeth.
"There is no need for discord," said Ona,
his voice remaining placid as he lifted his chin. The other two mirrored him, baring their throats as well.
"Through no fault of any, our path is simply not the same as that of your emperor.
We do not seek to disrupt, only to diverge.
There is no sorrow in this.
You shall follow your path, and we shall follow ours.
After all,"
Ona said, as he lowered his head a fraction to meet Majo's gaze, his eyes wide and hopeful.
"What is a single grain of sand
to an hourglass?"
Then Majo saw it. When Ona had moved, the tip of Majo's spear had nicked the Genon's throat. A tiny bead of liquid slid down Ona's neck, but it was not the deep vital red of human blood. It was something else. A pale amber fluid, thinner than human blood, was trickling from the wound.
"You are not human," snarled Majo coldly.
The haft of his spear creaked in his grip. Ona tilted his head, his face still the very image of childlike calm.
"Of course I am, Majo of the 12th.
Of course I am human, even if this form is not.
If I were to become separate from my arm,
am I no longer human?
Or does humanity exist beyond the simple flesh of our birth? Do you..."
The blade of Major's spear punched out the back of Ona's neck in a welter of inhuman amber gore. The screaming teeth of Arontes' chain axe descended, bifurcated the second Genon from collar to groin, while Hanno leapt forward and dispatched the third in a blur of his twin blades. In a moment, it was over. Majo withdrew his spear, and Ona toppled back, his face still serene as his ochre vitae emptied out onto the ground.
"Huh,"
grunted Hanno, as he nudged the torso of the Genon he had killed with his boot.
"An uncanny simulacrum, eh? They look just like us."
"So does a mirror," Arontes replied. "That doesn't make it human."
"Oh, in fairness," said Hanno,
his grin clear beneath his helm's faceplate,
"we aren't human either, First Axe. Not really. Not anymore. Enough."
Major's voice silenced those of his brothers. As he replaced his helmet, a soft tone clicked in his ear, and a familiar rune pulsed on his visor as a private vox channel opened.
"Fortunate that we brought your new lexiconum," said Khan.
The Primarch's equerry bent down, gathering the upper half of the Genon that Arontes had slain by the collar of its tattered robe.
"He did well in sniffing out these abominations, saving us the ordeal of listening to more of their riddling talk."
The eighth captain's voice was even, low, and soft. He rarely displayed any strong emotion, and so he betrayed no surprise at the discovery of the Genon's inhuman nature. There wasn't even anger. Rather, Khan sounded, as he always did, detached, almost weary in a way that was more than merely physical. Majo glanced at his brother, imagining the narrow, unscarred face beneath the helm and the tired smile that never reached his eyes.
"I am going back to the Conqueror."
Khan turned, starting back the way they had arrived, dragging the dead creature with his fist.
"Our father must hear of this."
The dome reopened, air gasping as it vented into space. Before stepping out, Khan looked back over his shoulder.
"You should return to the Hound's Tooth, Major. You know what he is going to say. You know by now what comes next."